I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life.
Yes, that's what we really do pray, and we believe that God will make it so, that hope will come to you and to us as we spend this time together having conversation about the things that matter most. Yes, having conversation about our relationship with God. Today we're going to pick up our reading in the Psalms. We've been doing a series off and on for quite a few weeks where we bring the Psalms of the Old Testament back into our everyday lives. And I have made statements like, praying the Psalms is like praying something your own heart has written. And so I believe the psalmist and the writer of the Psalms, or the writers of the Psalms, I believe that they have given to us a great gift to approach the throne of God with words that sometimes match the things we are experiencing. Today we're going to pick up sort of where we left off the last time we were in the Psalms series. We're going to Psalm 66. And I want to read a few verses, and then we'll make a few comments afterwards. Psalm 66, God's Word translation of the Holy Bible. Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of His name. Tell the world how glorious He is. Say to God, how awesome are Your deeds. Your enemies cringe before Your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship You. They will sing Your praises, shouting Your name in glorious songs. You know, Grayson, this portion of Scripture, these first four verses of Psalm 66, they speak of the awesomeness of God. And He surely is a God who leaves us in awe, A-W-E, awe and wonder, because He is so awesome and so wonderful. So, Grayson, when you hear the psalmist directing us to shout joyful praises to God, to tell the world how glorious He is, declaring things like everything on earth will worship You, what kind of thoughts come into your line of thinking?
Well, Dad, not only does it talk about how great He is and how powerful He is, but also lets us know that we should acknowledge Him and praise Him and thank Him and worship Him for His greatness and all the great things that He's done in our lives, and that we shouldn't, you know, take what He's done for us for granted, so to speak, that we should, you know, praise Him and give Him glory and worship Him, whether that be in song or in word or in deed. So I think that's important for us to recognize His greatness and to thank Him for all the things He's done for us.
Exactly. An awesome God is worthy of all our worship. The songwriter said, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. And I believe that the songwriter was getting at this idea that because my God is so awesome, He certainly deserves my all. And so I hope that we can say, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Because He surely gave His all for us, and He has given Himself to us. And how can we not reciprocate such a wonderful, wonderful response from a loving God, the God of everything? He is our God. Further along in the Scripture, I want to jump to Psalm 66 and verse 16. Here are the words that we hear from the psalmist. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He did for me. For I cried out to Him for help, praising Him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw His unfailing love from me. You know, Grayson, this idea of shouting joyful praises to God is one thing, but there's also a place in our life where we should testify to the goodness of God. In other words, we should also say to others, come and listen, and let me tell you what God has done for me. We know there's value, Grayson, in giving a personal witness for the wonderful God. So in your life, how do you go about sharing or witnessing or just giving testimony of God's goodness to you?
Well, Dad, first of all, I think you have to start out maybe by your actions, just living a Christ-like lifestyle in front of people and getting to know them on a personal level and letting them know that you care about them, kind of building the relationship. And then hopefully as you start to build the relationship with that person and live a Christian lifestyle in front of them day after day, then maybe they start to get interested in, you know, about your life and asking you maybe why you live the way you live or what's different about you. And that kind of opens the door up to witness to people. You kind of got to just rely on God's leading in your life to open up the doors, and also as far as what to say to people and maybe when not to say stuff, when just to live by your actions. But I think if we're living a Christian lifestyle, He will direct us in that if we're in tune to Him and spending time in quiet time and in prayer with Him.
Exactly, Grace, and I think that's all good. And we do need to live our theology first before we try to help others to learn it by our speech making. But there is a time for us to tell others how good God has been to us, to have them listen to the love song of our lives, because Jesus has been the melody, the miraculous melody of our lives. And we want to make sure that people know why we have such hope in our lives. And the only reason is because we know what God has done for us. And because we're so grateful, we want to make sure others hear that. And we want them to experience it in the way we live. But we also want to be faithful to tell them whenever God gives us that opportunity to witness with our lips, not just our life, but also with our words. And I think in that order is best, that people come to see our lives live for Christ, and then they come to hear what that's all about. They get to hear from our lips what our lives have already testified to. That second verse there that I read, verse 17, "For I cried out to God for help, praising Him as I spoke. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened, but God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw His unfailing love from me." You know, there's beauty in this passage. Basically, it's saying that if we have some unconfessed sin in our lives, some rebellion that we're trying to keep hidden, we shouldn't even waste our time praying, because God will not listen. If we are cherishing sin in our life, if we are embracing rebellion, we put ourselves out of right relationship with God. And the psalmist said, "If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." But God did listen. So we know the psalmist did not continue to cherish sin in his heart, but he confessed it and he put it out there where God would know that he was sorrowful for his sin. And God began to do a wonderful thing. He began to listen to the prayer of the psalmist. The psalmist even accents it this way: "He paid attention to my prayer." It's almost like, wow, my prayer, little old me. "And because I turned my back on sin and turned my face to Him, God did not ignore my prayer, and He did not withdraw His unfailing love from me." Grayson, can you imagine a life that would be lived where God would not hear our prayers and that He would not give to us His unfailing love? What kind of life would that be?
Well, Dad, that would be a life that wouldn't be worth living, or, you know, it would only be a life that would be lived for here and now and on the earth and with nothing to do with eternity, because there wouldn't be an eternity if there was no Jesus Christ and no Father God. He created us. Actually, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him. And so there would be no life if there was a life apart from Him. And as you were talking, Dad, about how we must make ourselves right with Him if we've sinned or fallen short of His glory and what He's commanded us to do, that made me think about how we have to walk the walk and not just talk the talk in our relationship with Him. We can't be, you know, talking about all the great things he's done for us and about his mercy and all that, if we're not living lives that are pleasing him. And certainly he is a merciful God, but he also is one that wants us to honor him and please him in our actions, not just our words.
Exactly. And our actions back up what we say. And that's the beauty of the true Christian life. You know, my prayer might be something like this: Lord, I want to testify to others about you, my God. You know, just ask God to help us to be people who give testimony, who bear witness of the beautiful grace of Holy God in our own lives, given our personal testimony. And the scriptures say in Revelation that that's how we overcome that evil one, is by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And so we want to make sure that we give the word of our testimony about what the blood of the Lamb has done for our lives. In chapter 67 of the Psalms, Psalm 67, we read these words: May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy, because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. Now, fear means reverence, you know. It's this sense that there's a holy awe when you understand that the presence of God is present in your life. But this scripture begins by saying, May God be merciful and bless us. May his face smile with favor on us. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. So, Grayson, when you hear the psalmist praying really for the mercy and the blessing of God, for the smile and favor of God, and that God would be known throughout the earth, and that his saving power would be made available to all people everywhere, what are some thoughts that you'd like to expound on?
Well, Dad, in the previous verses we were talking about, you know, making ourselves right with God or else he won't listen to us. Well, the same is in the case of his favor shining upon us and him smiling on us. Unless we're living lives that please him and are right with him, then I don't think it's possible for his favor to fall on us or him to be able to smile on our lives and be pleased with us. Also, the other thought I had was about, I know in the Bible it talks about how we're to be his witnesses to all the earth. And it's talking about making him known to the world and making him known to all the earth. And so I think that that is being his witnesses to those around us.
Exactly. Even all nations will come to know Creator God, the one who created planet Earth that holds all the nations. In verse 3, I want to read again. It says, May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy, because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. Now, Grayson, a lot of people believe today that God has kind of walked away from this world. It's in such chaos and such confusion. But we know that God would never abandon his creation until his plan has been totally completed. So when you think about the idea that God is still leaning in, he's not leaning out. And yes, there is chaos and confusion, but we know that God is in control, and we believe that he is still in power. And so, Grayson, we believe that God's power is more mighty than all the pollution of sin and all it could do to this world. So in the midst of this hard place we live, this place called Earth, in the midst of that, we believe that his holy presence is available and his holy presence is at work. And the final chapter has not yet been written. So when you think about God being involved, even in the midst of seeming chaos and confusion, what kind of things might you speak into that idea?
Well, Dad, certainly some people might wonder where he's at in these hard times, but we know that God gave us free will and free choice, and as long as there are humans, imperfect people, and certainly a lot of people that don't desire to please God, there's a lot of evil in this world, and so until he comes back the second time, there will always be trials and troubles and hard times. And he tells us in the Bible that we will have hard times. It says that it rains on the just and the unjust. So we will have hard times in this world, but we know that there's something better up ahead for us as Christians, that we're promised something better after this life. And so that's the hope that we have to look forward to, knowing that he's promised to all those that put their faith in him, that we will have life and eternity one day with him, his son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit. And that's something to look forward to, and something to give us hope, and something for us to live for, and to get us through each and every day in this life here on earth.
Amen, son. It's all true. All true. Thanks for those thoughts. Verse 5 and verse 6 and even verse 7 bring the conclusion of Psalm 67, and let me read that again. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. You know, Grayson, when we praise God, it releases blessing from heaven. It's not that he promises to give us $100 for $100. It's so often we make blessing about monetary things. I'm not saying he can't do that, and God certainly cares about our economical needs. But there's this sense that when we praise God, he brings a blessing that totally covers our lives. Not just physical, but emotional and mental and relational, and certainly spiritual blessing comes in the wake of his arrival. And so we want to praise him. We want to worship him. We want to see all the nations praise God, because then the earth will begin to yield the good things of the holy harvest of God himself. And our God longs to bless us. But if we don't praise him and worship him, if we don't become one with him in spirit and really focus our mind, heart, soul, and strength on him and him alone, then in some way we sabotage the blessings of God. And so we want God to bless us. We want him to bless people all over the world, and people to be in awe of who he is, to see him in his greatness, to see him in his grace, to see him in his might, and to see how very marvelous our God is. And so, Grayson, I have these words written out beside verse 7, our God will bless us. And those are the words right out of the scripture, basically. It says in verse 7, yes, God will bless us. And I just made it personal. I said, our God will bless us. He longs to bless his children. He is a loving Father God. And so let us live lives that are full of praise, lives that will be in such awe of who he is that he can't help but to lean his light our way and to give to us all that the storehouses of heaven can house, even while we are walking this earth. He longs to be the God who blesses us as his children. So when you think about these ideas, Grayson, I'm thinking probably you have a few other thoughts to add, that all the nations would come to know that he is God and to praise and to worship him in great awe.
Yeah, Dad, you were talking about how it says he will bless us, he will bless his people. Well, I was thinking of something about that we've talked about previously on previous broadcasts of Front Porch Talks about how we can claim all his promises, that they're true, that we can count on them. Well, he's actually already fulfilled all his promises to us, so we can claim those and know that he is true to his word, and that all the things that he said in the Bible will come true. So the fact that he says he'll bless us should give us hope, and knowing that if we live lives that are pleasing to him, certainly we have a blessing in store for us. Now, that's not why we should live lives to please him, but it does give us hope, knowing that he is on our side and he is fighting for us.
Exactly. And we are on his side. And I pray that we will be fully in awe of who he is, praising him with our last breath and our next breath. My prayer is that he would be the God of the nations. He deserves it, he demands it, and he delights in it. I'm just going to take a few verses out of Psalm 68 as we work toward the conclusion of this broadcast. In Psalm 68, I want to read just the first three verses. Rise up, O God, and scatter your enemies. Let those who hate God run for their lives. Blow them away like smoke. Melt them like wax in a fire. Let the wicked perish in the presence of God. But let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. Now, this is a very difficult passage because we realize that David is writing this psalm, and David had to do a lot of battling on behalf of the Lord. There were a lot of things that he had to face, a lot of enemies, a lot of people that wanted to kill him. And so he made sure that he was bonded tight with God. And so he lets God know how desperate he is for him, really. That's what he's talking about. I don't think it's that David hated people, but people hated David, and they were trying to kill him because he was God's king. And in verse 1, he says, rise up, O God, and scatter your enemies. And basically, David is saying, my enemies are your enemies, Lord, because I belong to you. And let those who hate God run for their lives. I think he was saying, let those who hate me, because I love you, God, let them run for their lives. And he says, blow them away like smoke, melt them like wax in a fire. Let the wicked perish in the presence of God. Basically, he's saying is, Lord, in your presence, people either live or die. There is no in between. And those who are in right relationship with God, when his presence comes, we have life and even life eternal. But when the presence of God comes upon the wicked, they can't survive in his holiness. And so the only way we can survive is to be in right relationship with him. And that is the holiness of God given to us so that we will not be among those who blow away like smoke, melt like wax in a fire, and perish in the presence of God. He goes on to say in verse 3, what happens to those who are rightly related to God, those who belong to God? He says, let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. So we don't have to be afraid in the presence of God. Yes, there is this holy awe in the presence of God. But we can be fearless in the presence of God because we've been filled with his presence. And so when his presence comes upon us, it's not anything new. It's just more of his holiness. He says, let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. So I guess the question from the scripture, Grayson, is that if we know the presence of God is coming upon us, coming to us, coming near us, do we have this sense of fear that we're going to die and perish in his presence? Or do we have this sense of gladness and joy because we live for his presence? You know, I often say God's presence is everything to me. And I mean that. But apart from what Jesus has done on the cross, and apart from the Holy Spirit being the filler of my life, the comforter of my life, the sustainer of my life, I could not survive for even a second in the presence of God. So we realize, Grayson, it's not our own self-righteousness that gives us gladness and joy in the presence of God, but it's actually his righteousness, his holiness, that he gives to those who call out to him, and he makes us right with him, so that when his presence comes, then we are glad and we are filled with joy.
Yeah, certainly it's good to have a reverent fear of the Lord, but he doesn't want us to be fueled by fear. He wants us to be fueled, like you said, not by our own joy and our own happiness, because human joy and happiness doesn't last forever, but joy and happiness that we get through our Father God does last forever, and that's true joy and happiness. And we can be joyful even when we're not happy, even when things aren't going right, and that's the type of joy that comes from the Lord.
Yes, and that joy of the Lord is our strength, and it's our strength to hold up in the presence of God, the holy presence of God. And so we're going to close this broadcast now, have Grayson play a song that'll bring some, hopefully, delight to your heart. We pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your heart. And we pray that the Psalms will become real to you as you pray them, as if you wrote them yourself, because often the psalmist is describing what we are experiencing. Peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here's our friend Kim McLean singing an old classic of the church, I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.